Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Book of Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th month of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, and the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak, I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not be afraid, I do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I have appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see a branch of an almond tree, he replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my words are fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north, I answered. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. The kings will come and set up their thrones at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against her, surrounding her walls, and against the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgment on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to their gods and worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whenever I command you, don't be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Today I want to look particularly and focus on the call of Jeremiah. It's a wonderful reminder, friends, that God has a place for each of us. God's got a job for each of us to do. And this wonderful picture, amongst many others that we have in Scripture, of God using the most unlikely characters to do his work, friends, should be a great encouragement to us as just normal, ordinary, everyday people. And so as a subtitle, I've entitled this call of Jeremiah, God Knows and Wants to Use You. God knows and wants to use you. There are five things I want to say today. First of all, it's this. God knows and wants to use you in spite of your family background. Doesn't matter where you come from, friends. God can use you. Jeremiah was being called to be a prophet. But the funny thing, friends, is that his family were a bunch of false prophets, false priests. At one point in the history of their family, they had been part of the temple priests. But they had turned their back on something David and Solomon had done. And David and Solomon particularly, had kicked the them out of the church. Get them out. This is what it said in 1 Kings chapter 2. To Abiathar the priest, the king said, go back to your fields in Anathoth. You deserve to die, but I will not put you to death now, because you carried the ark of the sovereign Lord before my father David and shared in my father's hardship. So Solomon removed Abiathar from the priesthood of the Lord, fulfilling the word the Lord had spoken at Shiloh and the house of Eli. Solomon had kicked the family of Jeremiah out of the priesthood, but they had set themselves up in Anathoth, friends, as an alternate site, an alternate place, an alternate religion to the true religion of Israel. Friends, there's encouragement there. God can even use the Muslims to do his work. God can use the Buddhists and the Hindus. God can use anybody, friends. Anybody who thinks they are, you know, they think that they are representing the true God. Friends, God can call anybody, even though they may be worshiping in a false way. Doesn't matter your family background, friends. God can use you. My family background, my father was an electrician, friends. He was not a great learned man. My mother was a very clever person, but my father, he was just an ordinary man. Just kind of a down-to-earth worker. And yet, God chose me to do his work. Doesn't matter where you come from, friend. God can use you. Secondly, God knows and wants to use you irrespective of your age. Friend, Jeremiah was set aside before he was even born. God said, I knew you in the womb. But you know, he said that to all of us, friends. Because the Bible tells us, before you were born, I knew you. Friend, God knows the purpose and plans of each of us. Irrespective of your age, friend, God can use you. When God called Jeremiah, scholars kind of estimate that he probably was somewhere between kind of 13 and 15 years old, somewhere around about that age. When Jesus began his ministry, or not so much his ministry, but first of all, his first encounter with the temple, he was 13. There are many, friends. Samuel was a young boy in the temple of God. Yet Moses was 80. Abraham was 90 when God called them to work. So irrespective of your age, friend, God can use you. Don't forget that. Don't say, I'm over the hill now. I've got nothing more to do in this life. I've done everything I can. No, friend, God can use you. The reality is, friends, we should also not hold back our young people. Friend, God has got a place for the young generation. I don't know how many of you may have listened to some of this event that has happened over this weekend called Gather 25. It's been a service that started on Friday evening and went for 25 hours. It started in North America, then went across to Australia and New Zealand, then went across to Malaysia, then went across to Singapore, then went across from there into Indian area, then went from there into Africa. And the reason I know that is my son was in Rwanda, which was the broadcast site for the program in Africa. Then went from there up into Europe and eventually across into England and then back into America and ended there last night. But you know the message of that whole conference, friends? The message of that conference was, there is a young generation waiting to do the work of God. And we as the church, friends, should be liberating them and setting them free to do the work of God. God can use, knows and use you irrespective of your age. Number three, God knows and wants to use you in the face of knowing your weaknesses. When God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, I'm young. I can't speak. How do you expect me to speak? I don't have that ability. You know, I'm just a little boy. God reached out, friends, and touched his mouth. Put words in his mouth and gave him the ability to speak. When God called Isaiah, when Isaiah stood before God, and God said, you need to speak on my behalf. Isaiah said, Lord, I can't speak because I'm a person of unclean lips. God sent a coal of fire from the altar of heaven and touched his lips and purified him and set him free. Friend, don't worry about your weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We all have failings. We don't have the abilities that we think we need to be able to work on behalf of God. But friends, the reality is God can use you in the light or in the face of knowing your weaknesses. He knows how weak you are. But friends, he can use you. Let him reach out. Like he did for Jeremiah, reached out and touched his mouth and gave him the words that he needed to speak. Like he did with Isaiah, reached out and touched his mouth and purified him to be able to speak. Friends, open yourself to God and say, Lord, I'm weak in this area. Won't you reach out and touch me in this area? So that I can be used of you. So God knows and wants to use you in spite of your family background, irrespective of your age, in the face of knowing your weaknesses. But friends, the reason God knows and wants to use you is that he wants you to be an instrument for his glory. God doesn't call you to make you look great. God doesn't call you for you to receive a blessing. God doesn't call you for you to be the big man or big woman. Friend, when God calls you, he has a purpose of bringing glory to himself. And when you understand that, friends, then God can use you. Because if you're waiting for God to empower you so that you can be the superhero, God's not going to do that. God is the one who receives the glory. God is the only one worthy of our praise and this world's glory, friends. And if you understand that when God calls you, it's not for your status in life, it's for the glory of God, then you will move ahead. How does God call Jeremiah? What does he ask him to do for his glory? Well, first of all, in verse 10, he gives him six things to do. He says you are to uproot. We're reminded in Matthew 15, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. How do we give God glory, friends? By getting rid of what is false. Only what God plants, friends, has eternal value. We are to tear it down. How must we tear it down? 2 Corinthians reminded, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. Friends, that's how we can move ahead. Don't try and, you know, think you've got the power to destroy strongholds in your own strength, friends. It's only in the power that God gives you that you're able to destroy strongholds. Tear them down. Thirdly, we are to destroy. What are we to destroy? Jesus, it says in 1 John 3 and verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Friends, that's what God has called us to do, to destroy the devil's work. We are to overthrow. The verse, next part of the verse says, what must we overthrow? Well, 2 Thessalonians tells us, and then the lawless one will be revealed, who Jesus will overthrow by the breath of his mouth. Friend, the devil is so weak. Jesus is just going to go, and he'll be gone. Friends, that's the thing we overthrow. But then there's the other side of the coin. Yes, we're to uproot and tear down and destroy and overthrow, but we're also to build. What are we to build? Jesus said, upon this rock. The rock was the declaration of Peter to say, you are the son, are Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. So how do we build? We build our church, friends, by lifting Jesus higher. That's how we need to lift him up. That's how we build. The more we lift Jesus higher, the greater his building will be. And number six, we're to plant. What are we to plant? We're to plant little seeds, friends. Mark 4 says this, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, which with such big branches, the birds of the air can perch in its shade. So you to break down Satan's work, friends, and build God's kingdom, build the church of Jesus Christ. God knows and wants to use you, friend, as the instrument of his glory. And he receives glory, friends, when his church is built up, when his church is strengthened, when the kingdom spreads out and the work of God is complete. And then finally, God knows and wants to use you, friends. When is the question? You say, I haven't been used by God. You know, I'm still waiting for God to use me. But friends, yes, the question. God knows and wants to use you immediately you make yourself available to him. When you give yourself to God, friends, God will make you fearless. Verse 17, just read it for yourself. When you give yourself to God, friends, God will give you the strength. When you give yourself to God, friends, God promises He will go with us and give us the power, because the power doesn't lie in us. The power lies in His presence with us as we go to do His work. There's an old saying that's often been used in the church. God is not looking for people who have abilities. God is looking for people who have availability. You may have all the abilities in the world. You may be highly educated. You may be very talented. You may have all the gifts that anybody could ever wish to have. But until you make yourself available to God, you are of no use to Him, friends. You're just another talented person. Let me ask you, are you willing to make yourself available to God? Jeremiah first said, Lord, no, not me. Not me, God. I can't do this. But when God touched him, he said, Lord, me. I'm available. I'm ready to be used by you. Lord, help us to have an attitude of availability. Help us, Lord, to always be ready to serve you wherever we may go. Thank you for the call you've placed in our lives. Thank you for the strength you give us to face every day. Give us your ability. Give us your vision. Give us your task. Lord, and we know that as we fulfill that, Lord, as we live for your glory, your kingdom will be established on earth. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.